Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Sunday morning, April 30th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. I would definitely recommend you get over there. A lot of great content, near 60 very carefully curated podcasts, a variety of topics. Definitely, again, worth your while. I want to continue to point you at the final link in our show notes. They are for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give, Send, Go campaign. What we are striving to do is we are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school to provide a trustworthy alternative within our community. So go ahead and click on the link. You get a much more thorough description than I just gave you. And then we would ask three things of you. We'd ask for you to pray for us. We'd ask for you to prayerfully consider giving to us. And we would ask you to pass the link along. All right. Well, like I've been saying here over the weekend, we're not going to be doing our Bible study for this evening. But what we will do is we're going to be doing our Bible reading for the day. And then we'll get back into our Bible study Monday evening. So let's go ahead and open up with the first day morning prayer. It's called worship. Let's pray. O Lord, we commune with thee every day, but weekdays are worldly days, and secular concerns reduce heavenly impressions. We bless thee, therefore, for the day sacred to our souls, when we can wait upon thee and be refreshed. We thank thee for the institutions of religion, by use of which we draw near to thee and thou to us. We rejoice in another Lord's day, when we call off our minds from the cares of the world and attend upon thee without distraction. Let our retirement be devout, our conversation edifying, our reading pious, our hearing profitable, that our souls may be quickened and elevated. We are going to the house of prayer. Pour upon us the spirit of grace and supplication. We are going to the house of praise. Awaken in us every grateful and cheerful emotion. We are going to the house of instruction. Give testimony to the word preached and glorify it in the hearts of all who hear. May it enlighten the ignorant, awaken the careless, reclaim the wandering, establish the weak, comfort the feeble-minded, make ready a people for their Lord. Be a sanctuary to all who cannot come. Forget not those who never come, and do thou bestow upon us benevolence towards our dependents, forgiveness towards our enemies, peaceableness towards our neighbors, openness towards our fellow Christians. Amen. All right. Now the morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for April 30th. And here we are, the end of the month. The text for it is Numbers 14:2. And all the children of Israel murmured. There are murmurers among Christians now, as there were in the camp of Israel of old. There are those who, when the rod falls, cry out against the afflictive dispensation. They ask, why am I thus afflicted? What have I done to be chastened in this manner? A word with thee, O murmurer. Why shouldst thou murmur against the dispensations of thy heavenly Father? Can he treat thee more hardly than thou deservest? Consider what a rebel thou wast once, but he has pardoned thee. Surely, if he in his wisdom sees fit now to chasten thee, thou shouldst not complain. After all, art thou smitten as hardly as thy sins deserve? Consider the corruption which is in thy breast, and then wilt thou wonder that there needs so much of the rod to fetch it out? Weigh thyself and discern how much dross is mingled with thy gold. And dost thou think the fire too hot to purge away so much dross as thou hast? Does not that proud, rebellious spirit of thine prove that thy heart is not thoroughly sanctified? Are not those murmuring words contrary to the holy submissive nature of God's children? Is not the correction needed? But if thou wilt murmur against the chastening, take heed, for it will go hard with murmurers. God always chastises his children twice, if they do not bear the first stroke patiently. But know one thing, He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. All his corrections are sent in love to purify thee and to draw thee nearer to himself. Surely it must help thee to bear the chastening with resignation if thou art able to recognize thy Father's hand. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. God dealeth with you as with sons. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Sorry. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Murmur not as sons, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Sorry about that. English language that he uses, I mean, that older English language, that made me stumble there a little bit. All right. We're going to be continuing on in our Bible study reading. We're going to be reading Judges 11 and the first 15 verses of Judges 12. We've now moved into the Gospel of John. So John 1, the first 28 verses, Psalm 101, and Proverbs 14, verses 13 and 14. So Judges 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead became the father of Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bore him sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." So Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. And worthless fellows gathered themselves about Jephthah, and they went out with him. Now it happened after a while that the sons of Ammon fought against Israel. So it happened that as the sons of Ammon fought against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, "Come and be our chief, that we may fight against the sons of Ammon." Then Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "Did you not hate me and drive me from my father's house? So why have you come to me now when you are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "For this reason we have now returned to you, that you may go with us and fight with the sons of Ammon, and become head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "If you take me back to fight against the sons of Ammon, and Yahweh gives them up to me, will I become your head?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "Yahweh is witness between us. Surely we will do as you have said." Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and chief over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before Yahweh at Mizpah. And Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the sons of Ammon, saying, "What is between you and me that you have come to me to fight against my land?" Then the king of the sons of Ammon said to the messengers of Jephthah, "Because Israel took away my land when they came up from Egypt, from the Arnon as far as the Jabbok and the Jordan, so now return them peaceably." But Jephthah sent messengers again to the king of the sons of Ammon, and they said to him, "Thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, nor the land of the sons of Ammon. For when they came up from Egypt, and Israel went through the wilderness to the Red Sea, and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, 'Please let us pass through your land.' But the king of Edom would not listen. And they also sent the king of Moab, but he was not willing, so Israel remained at Kadesh. Then they went through the wilderness and around the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came to the east toward the sunrise of the land of Moab. And they camped beyond the Arnon, but they did not enter the territory of Moab, for the Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon, and Israel said to him, 'Please let us pass through your land to our place.' But Sihon did not believe Israel to allow them to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people and camped in Jahaz and fought with Israel. Then Yahweh, the God of Israel, gave Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they struck them down. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. So they possessed all the territory of the Amorites from the Arnon as far as the Jabbok, and from the wilderness as far as the Jordan. So now Yahweh the God of Israel dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. Are you then to possess it? Do you not possess what Chemosh your God gives you to possess? So whatever Yahweh our God has taken possession of before us, we will possess it. So now are you any better than Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive with Israel, or did he ever fight against them? While Israel lived in Heshbon and its towns and its and in our Aroer and its towns and in all the cities that are on the banks of the Arnon, 300 years, why did you not deliver them for yourself within that time? I therefore have not sinned against you, but you are doing me evil by making war against me. May Yahweh the judge judge today between the sons of Israel and the sons of Ammon. But the king of the sons of Ammon did not listen to the words which Jephthah sent him. Now the spirit of Yahweh came upon Jephthah, so that he passed through Gilead and Manasseh. Then he passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he went on to the sons of Ammon. Then Jephthah made a vow to Yahweh and said, If you will indeed give the sons of Ammon into my hand, then it shall be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the sons of Ammon, it shall be Yahweh's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. So Jephthah crossed over to the sons of Ammon to fight against them, and Yahweh gave them into his hand, and he struck them with a very great slaughter, from Aroer to the entrance of Minnith, 20 cities, and as far as the Abel Karamim. So the sons of Ammon were subdued before the sons of Israel. Then Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, and behold, his daughter was coming out to meet him with tambourines and with dancing. Now she was his one and only child. Besides her, he had no son or daughter. So it happened that when he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you are among those who trouble me. But I have opened my mouth to vow to Yahweh, and I cannot take it back. So she said to him, My father, you have opened your mouth to vow to Yahweh. Do to me according to what has gone out from your mouth, since Yahweh has avenged you of your enemies, the sons of Ammon. Then she said to her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go to the mountains and weep because of my virginity, I and my companions. Then he said, Go. So he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and wept on the mountains because of her virginity. And it happened at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, and he did to her according to the vow which he had made, and she did not know a man. Thus it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to commemorate the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in the year. All right, Judges 12, verses 1 through 15. Then the men of Ephraim were summoned, and they crossed to Zaphon, and said to Jephthah, Why did you cross over to fight against the sons of Ammon, but did not call us to go with you? Will you burn your house? We will burn your house down on you. Then Jephthah said to them, I and my people were at great strife with the sons of Ammon, and I cried out to you, but you did not save me from their hand. And I saw that you would not save me, so I took my life in my hands and crossed over against the sons of Ammon, and Yahweh gave them into my hand. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and fought Ephraim. And the men of Gilead struck Ephraim down, because they said, You are fugitives of Ephraim, O Gileadite, in the midst of Ephraim and in the midst of Manasseh. And the Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan opposite Ephraim. And it happened when any of the fugitives of Ephraim said, Let me cross over, the men of Gilead would say to him, Are you an Ephraimite? If he said, No, then they would say to him, Say now, Shibboleth. But he said, Sibboleth, for he could not pronounce it correctly. Then they seized him and slaughtered him at the fords of the Jordan. Thus there fell at that time 42,000 of Ephraim. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. Then Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel after him, and he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, whom he gave in marriage outside the family. And he brought in 30 daughters from outside for his sons, and he judged Israel 7 years. Then Ibzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. Then Elon the Zebulunite judged Israel after him, and he judged Israel 10 years. And Elon the Zebulunite died and was buried at Aijalon in the land of Zebulun. Then Abdon the son of Hillel the Parathonite judged Israel after him. And he had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys, and he judged Israel 8 years. Then Abdon the son of Hillel the Parathonite died and was buried at Pirathon in the land of Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites. All right, and now John 1, and I need some coffee. Hang on. Sorry, throat was getting a little wonky. All right, so John 1, first 28 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man having been sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, so that all might believe through him. But he was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens everyone. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me has been ahead of me, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. And this is the witness of John, when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who are you? And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, No. Therefore they said to him, Who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said to him, Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. This one is he who comes after me, of whom I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandal. These things took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. All right. Psalm 101. Of David, a psalm. I will sing of loving kindness and justice. To you, O Yahweh, I will sing praises. I will consider the way of the blameless. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no vile thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A crooked heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. My eye shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may abide with me. He who walks in the way of the blameless is the one who will minister to me. He who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks lies shall not be established before my eyes. Every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land, to cut off from the city of Yahweh all the workers of iniquity. All right. And Proverbs 14, verses 13 and 14. Even in laughter the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. The one who turns back in his heart will be satisfied with his ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his. All right. Well, that is our Bible reading for the day. Let's go ahead and do the evening devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for April 30th. The text for it is from Psalm 139:17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Divine omniscience affords no comfort to the ungodly mind, but to the child of God it overflows with consolation. God is always thinking upon us, never turns aside his mind from us, has us always before his eyes. And this is precisely as we would have it, for it would be dreadful to exist for a moment beyond the observation of our Heavenly Father. His thoughts are always tender, loving, wise, prudent, far-reaching, and they bring to us countless benefits. Hence it is a choice delight to remember them. The Lord always did think upon his people, hence their election and the covenant of grace by which their salvation is secured. He always will think upon them, hence their final perseverance by which they shall be brought safely to their final rest. In all our wanderings, the watchful glance of the Eternal Watcher is ever more fixed upon us. We never roam beyond the Shepherd's eye. In our sorrows he observes us incessantly, and not a pang escapes him. In our toils he marks all our weariness, and writes in his book all the struggles of his faithful ones. These thoughts of the Lord encompass us in all our paths and penetrate the innermost region of our being. Not a nerve or tissue, valve or vessel of our bodily organization is uncared for. All the littles of our little world are thought upon by the great God. Dear reader, is this precious to you? Then hold to it. Never be led astray by those philosophic fools who preach up an impersonal God and talk of self-existent, self-governing matter. The Lord liveth and thinketh upon us. This is a truth far too precious for us to be lightly robbed of it. The notice of a nobleman is valued so highly that he who has it counts his fortune made. But what is it to be thought of by the King of Kings? If the Lord thinketh upon us, all is well, and we may rejoice evermore. Well said. All right, well, thank you for spending this time with me this morning. I continue to pray that it is beneficial to you. It helps to keep you saturated in the word of the Lord, as it does me. I hope you have a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. If you haven't already this weekend, and you haven't, and your plans don't include this yet, get to church, worship with the saints. We are called to do so. We are commanded to do so, and we must do so. And I hope to see you tomorrow. Let's go ahead and close out with the first day evening prayer. It's called The Teacher. Let's pray. O God, we bless thee, our creator, preserver, benefactor, teacher, for opening to us the volume of nature, where we may read and consider thy works. Thou hast this day spread before us the fuller pages of revelation, and in them we see what thou wouldst have us do, what thou requirest of us, what thou hast done for us, what thou hast promised to us, what thou hast given us in Jesus. We pray thee for a conscious experience of his salvation, and our deliverance from sin, and our bearing his image, and our enjoying his presence, and our being upheld by his free spirit. Let us not live uncertain of what we are or where we are going. Bear witness with our spirit that we are thy children, and enable each one to say, I know my Redeemer. Bless us with a growing sense of this salvation. If already enlightened in Christ, may we see greater things. If quickened, may we have more abundant life. If renewed, let us go on from strength to strength. Give us closer abiding in Jesus, that we may bring forth more fruit. Have a deeper sense of our obligations to him, that we may surrender all, have a fuller joy, that we may serve him more completely, and may our faith work by love towards him who died, towards our fellow believers, towards our fellow men. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Have a good one. God bless.